When you thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah, my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. My purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah, my heart and my soul, give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Worship with us.
Well, above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out.
Thank you, Lord, for today. Of me that's good. You're a part of me that creates and makes better and becomes better. You're not the piece of me that breaks things down. You healed that part of me. Thank you.
My heart and my soul, and I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the end.
With me again.
My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside. speak what is true.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can bring our burdens, our chaos, Lord, and that you heal our hearts, that you speak truth into our lives, that you restore us. Lord, that you just love us. We just praise you and we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Closing out a message on the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a unique message. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read 20 verses, and we're going to read four sections at a time, and we're going to talk about them. So I'm going to ask my first reader, the children at the fifth Sunday of every month. We started last year. The kids come in with us, a children's church. So my first reader is going to come. She don't want to do it? All right, well, you're going to do two for me? All right, read my first one, Ephesians 5, 1 through 3. Up here. Up 1 through 2, excuse me.
Intimate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2.
Good job. And you did good on the nutcracker.
Thank you.
I saw some posts and you had your uniform on. What's that uniform represent?
Costume.
All right. Let me just go do what I know about. Love. Now, we're gonna crack some nuts. How about that? Let's go. So, you know, I love the Apostle Paul because right out of the gate, let me back up a minute. My daddy said two things to me. I had a lot of mentors in my life, but there's two things my dad mentored me in more than anything else, and it's helped me more in my life more than anything else. And he said two things to me when I was called into the ministry. He said, number one, he said, you have a gift. He said, you have ability to memorize scripture. He says, memorize as many scriptures as you possibly can, so when you give out of something to say, you can just quote scripture. I said, okay. So that helped me. But the second thing he said, I want you to take the Pauline epistles, the epistles of Paul, Corinthians and Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Timothy and Thessalonians, and all the epistles that Paul wrote. He said, saturate yourself in those epistles, and if you do, then you will really know the mind of Christ, and you'll really know how to live and how to act. And those two things I've done my whole life is try to memorize scripture, but number two, to saturate myself with epistles. My two previous Bibles, which were in New Living Translation, I had to set aside and go to another Bible because they were $29 Bibles, and both of my two previous Bibles, the epistles are just torn out. And because I wear them out week after week, year after year. And I don't apologize for that because I believe it's the crux of the church. It tells us what the church is to do, how we're to live, and what we're to be. And so I'll do that the rest of my life, is saturate myself with the Pauline epistles. And so I finally bought me a Bible that's going to last a long, long time, several years ago, and it's not bonded leather, it's real leather, and it's going to last a long time, and the epistles are going to stay intact. And so I love it. But Paul says here, imitate God. Yeah. We could stay on that all morning, couldn't we? Imitate God. You talking about? I thought Jesus gave us a high bar when he talked about the Sermon on the Mount. I thought Jesus gave us a high bar when he talked about all the things that we ought to do and we ought to be. But here the Apostle Paul says, imitate God in everything you do because you're his dear children. How many know that whether you didn't want to become like your daddy, you've become like your daddy in a lot of ways? How many believe there's a lot of things that's not good? If you judged your parent in certain things, then you probably became your parent in certain things that you're not proud of. But if you loved your parent and you loved your father and there were good things about him that you imitated, I guarantee you, you're glad that you did. And they'll have a heavenly father now, and he says, I want you to imitate me. I was curious about that word, imitate, and I looked it up, and it comes from the Greek word mimesis. And it actually means to mimic God. Mimic God. In these days, in those days, a lot of people, most people couldn't read. And so these great orators of that day would stand and proclaim truth. There were philosophers who would give them philosophies about life. But all of them, whether they were Christians or non-Christians, they were trying to help people live a better life. And these orators would do that. And there were young men that were training under them. And they were trained under these great orators so they could become great orators. And they were trained to do three things. Number one, listen closely to what they say. Get the theory of what they're saying. Get the principles of what they're saying. Get an understanding of it, because when you begin to speak, then you can enact the same thing. Number two, mimic them. Mimic them. Number three, practice. And so what we have to do to imitate God, to mimic God, then we have to, one, get the principles in our heart and in our life that God is. Learn about God. And you learn about God in a lot of ways. But let me tell you, you know, the Apostle Paul was strong enough when one epistle, Paul said this, imitate me as I imitate the Lord. Follow me as I follow the Lord. And there are people in the world that you can mimic. And there are good people in the world that we ought to mimic. If there are people in the world who have godly principles in their life, and you need to follow after them, learn from them. The Bible talks about the older women teaching the younger women, the older men teaching the younger men. The Bible talks about listen to the instructions of your father and your mother. Get wisdom from them. And the children who do that are much better off in their life as they go. So he says, I want you to mimic God. And the greatest way you can mimic God is to live a life filled with love, following, listen, the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, as a pleasing aroma to God. Live a life of love. And then he says, like Christ did. Now, what was Christ's ultimate sacrifice? What was Christ's ultimate gift of love? It was the cross. And when they were persecuting him, when they were crucifying him, when they were doing all manner of evil things against him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when he did that, it was a pleasing aroma to God. That's why I finally understood, and I never understood for years what Isaiah meant when he prophesied in Isaiah 53 about Christ, and he talked about he'd be wounded for our transgressions and all the different things, and he's borne our sorrows and he's carried our griefs, and we've all turned our back on him. We've all been sheep led astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But in that passages of Scripture, it says, and it pleased the Lord, or it pleased God for that to happen. Because what happened was, he saw Christ suffering on the cross, and when he saw him forgive his enemies, it was a sweet, pleasing aroma to God. When you forgive people, when you show love, it is a sweet, pleasing aroma to God. God is nothing quite like a sweet, pleasing aroma, is it? How many Thursday walked into some homes and went, this smells good. This smells so good. One of the greatest prophecies that was ever given over this church was given on High Falls Road. And it said years ago in a Thursday night prayer meeting, where there was just a small, we used to meet every Thursday night and pray for unity in the body of Christ. And when three churches was merged together 2 years later, we stood in a circle like we did every Thursday night, praying for unity in the body of Christ. And as we were praying, and as three churches, or two churches at that time had come together, the third one was being worked on, I stopped the prayer meeting and said, why are we praying for something that God has finally answered in our prayer life? We have prayed for 2 years for unity in the body of Christ, and now God has heard our prayers. And in that meeting, there was a prophecy given that the new life at that time would become a church that would be a sweet-smelling aroma, that would be almost like a bakery that would just give off a fragrance of Christ all the time. And the Bible says, Paul said in another scripture, we are either a fragrance of life or we're a fragrance of death. That's really what he said, you're a fragrance of life or you're a stench of death. You're either smelling like Christ or you're smelling like the world. And he says, I want you to be a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. The first foremost way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to mimic God. Just act like God. I'm going to say one other thing before I ask another kid to come read a passage of Scripture. How many have ever said this? Well, none of us are perfect. Every time that is mentioned, usually it's in the context of failure. It's in the context of negativity, and we give an excuse, well, nobody's perfect. Instead of using an excuse of, not an excuse, but instead of saying, let me learn something from that and let me move on from here. Instead of being a cop-out, let's take it and say, let's learn something from it. Let's be like the cleaning agent of 409. It was named 409 because it was the 409th time they tried to get that formula together. They didn't fail 408 times. They just saw 408 times what didn't work. And they finally got it. You will finally get it. You'll finally get it. If you fall enough, you'll finally get it. How many know a kid who's learning to walk finally gets it? How many times do they fall when they're learning? You can't count them how many times they fall, but they finally get it, don't they? If we keep trying, we'll finally get it. I don't know who the number two student is, but if you'll be coming to read the next passage of Scripture for me, number two. Number two. You're number three, but you moved to number two? Whatever. All right. You're number one in my book. Woo, that's a tough one, buddy. Go ahead.
Let there be no sexual immorality. Immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure there is no immortal, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. For greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for an anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in these things people do. For once you have full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light.
Amen. Good job. In those days, there was two things happening. The church had come on the scene. And Ephesus was a huge, huge city. It was a very commercial city. A lot of things was going on there. In that city, there was a lot of temples. And in those temples, there was a lot of prostitution that was going on. And so there was a lot of distorted grace. Paul was coming along. And Paul came along with this great message of grace, but he always had to balance it out. When you read the book of Romans, he's constantly having to get people to understand what he's talking about, because there were people called Gnostics, which had the belief of Gnosticism, which had the belief that you could do anything with your body, it really didn't matter, but all that mattered was in your spirit. And so Paul is combating everything that's going on. He says, now you're not to be like those temples over here. They win you to their religion by some things that ought not be won by. And how they win you by is immorality, impurity, and greed. He says, these things ought not be among God's people. Then he says this, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not you either. Now, what he's saying there is simply this. I've seen stories, foolish joke, and you know, one scripture calls jesting. Now, what this really is saying in essence is this, and I want to talk to the kids for a minute because we get caught up in this a lot. This is one thing I have to watch myself. See, really what he's saying, watch your talk. Watch how you speak negatively and down on other people. Watch how you jest about things. Now, kids, it's okay to, you know, cut up. God wants you to have fun. He really does. But if you can get in the habit of when you just constantly are like cutting other people down or making fun of them, it can become a lifestyle to you. And next thing you know, then you just, you know, the worst thing you can do to anybody, the way you can hurt people more than any other way is with your words. You hurt people more with your words than any other way. And so what I want to encourage you to do for the rest of this year is talk to your brothers and your sisters, and don't jest with them and be negative to them and cut them down. Build them up. Tell them how wonderful they are. Tell them how much you love them. And just tell them that, you know, they're pretty and they're good and they're smart. And when you're in school and you hear another kid cutting down another kid, you go to that kid that just got cut down and you say to that kid, that's not true about you. I want to tell you, you're a good person, you're a pretty person, you're a smart person, and build that person up. And just in case you think I'm just talking to the kids, I'm not. You know, it's easy. I'm a jester. I'm a joker. I like having fun, and you know, I have to watch it sometimes because the people I'm around, I can cut up with them and a lot, and I have to be careful that I don't just constantly say things, and God's not going to come down on me with a hammer and say, you know, and I'm not trying to be rude or ugly, but sometimes it can create an attitude of life, and it can create a way of life that we begin to say those things on a regular basis, and we're not speaking the things we really ought to speak. And so we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit by what we're saying about other people. Amen? So he says, instead of doing all that, he said, let there be thankfulness to God. Let there be thankfulness to God. You just can't talk about thankfulness to God. You know, Thanksgiving's not once a year. Thanksgiving is something that should be our life all year long. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. He said, because you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ or of God. For a greedy person is an idolater and worshiping the things of the Lord. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. And see, we need to be careful that we don't allow our own self, other people, other thoughts, other ideas excuse these things. One person got that. It's easy to have excuses about everything that goes wrong and we do wrong in our life. He says, these people got a bunch of excuses. They say, well, you're just human. Well, that's okay. Well, I'm just kidding. He said, don't stop making excuses for all these. Don't be fooled by those. But God's wrath will fall upon those who disobey. It's not God stands here and brings it down. It just comes because it's the law. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once, you were full of darkness, but now you're full of the light of the Lord. And that's what we're going to close this out with in the next two sections, is this light of the Lord, so that we live as people of light. You know, that's what we're called to do. God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. There is a light in you. And if you'll follow that light, you'll always do the right thing. And when you do the wrong thing, the light will shine on it so you don't do it again. I'll talk about that more in a moment. Who's my third reader? Come up. Number three. This passage talks about, in Ephesians, the light. You going to read from that screen? All right.
For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For this light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light."
Good job. There's a light that's within you that produces what? Only what is good, what is right, what is true, and what pleases the Lord. You know, I don't think I've shared this with the congregation when I started this series on the Holy Spirit. I know I shared it some in the staff. But there's two things. There's three things that bear witness in the earth that we really go by. One is the Word, one's the Spirit, and one's the blood. We need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins at all times. We need the Word of God to enlighten us and guide us. And we need the Spirit of God to empower us at all times. And sometimes we can get to the place where it's all Word. And if it's all Word, we puff up. If it's all Spirit, we blow up. But if it's Word and Spirit, we grow up. That's why we need a balance of enough in our life of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, because with that, it grows us up to be who God wants us to be. And this light in us will give us, show us what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things that are pleasing to the Lord. We know a lot of things that are pleasing to the Lord. We know a lot of things that aren't pleasing to the Lord, don't we? I mean, I could write a list of things that's not pleasing to God, and we all know them. I could write a list of things that's pleasing. To love people, how many know that's pleasing to God? To be obedient to God, forgiveness, oh, we know that's pleasing to God. Let me tell you something that's as pleasing to God, that's what I'm about to say, maybe, one of the most important things you've ever heard. Jesus said, "No man goes to war without looking at his army, making sure he has enough to go win the battle." That's just simple, practical sense, wouldn't you say? Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. We talked about him the other week. God tells Gideon to go to battle. He takes 300 men. He does just the opposite of what Christ said. There's a light in you. There's a spirit in you. Sometimes you make decisions not based upon what you know and what you see and what looks like the right decision to make, but you make the decision based upon the inner voice of the Holy Spirit that could say something totally different than what you're calculating in your heart and in your mind. He'll let you know. My leg kept hurting me, and it got worse and worse. And at that time, I was walking 4 or 5 times a week. And so I thought, well, I must have done something walking. I guess exercise is not so good for you as I thought. This is not what I wanted out of that. So it got to the place, it got to the pain. I went to the doctor, and he said, "Well, we need to do an MRI on it." So I went back to the doctor. He said, "You got a tear. We got to fix it." I said, "Well, I don't know how I did that." And he said, "You can do it in bed." I said, "That's encouraging." I just turned over in bed and tear something in my knee. And then one day I was just asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, how did I do this?" Immediately, he reminded me the first of the year, I was stepping out of my back door. Dusty happened to be behind me, and I stepped down. We got a little, it's not an average step. It's not too long, but it's a little longer than an average step. And I just flopped down. I don't really do that. Flopped down on that leg, and when I did, it gave. And I felt something, and I felt pain, and I almost went to the floor. And that's when I did it. And I told Dusty, "I remember that. I remember when you did that." And that was way back the first of the year. Now, it wasn't a big deal that I know how I did that, but I was kind of glad to know how I did that. But I'm just glad that God, the Holy Spirit inside of us, will tell us things if you ask Him. And some things next year, I'll tell you. I don't feel free to tell you right now. But I asked the Lord for something several weeks ago, and I forgot all about what I'd asked the Lord for. And after it happened, God reminded me the exact thing that I asked Him for was the exact thing that He did. And it was way beyond my faith. Spirit of God, you can't, it's just, let me tell you something. He is not the third person of the Trinity. He is God the Holy Spirit. He's God the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The three in one. He is not an it. He is a person. And He lives inside you. He comes inside you. Jesus said to bring God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in your life. So God is in you. And that's why He says you can imitate God, because God's in you. The only way you can act like God and mimic God is because you are God. That's Ralph 101, I know. God is in you. He really is. He really is. But, you know, if you say, oh, no, He's not in me. Well, He's not then. Well, He is, but you're not aware of it. Until you're aware of it, it might as well not be. Because what your perception is what is. What you perceive to be is what will be. And what you're aware of and conscious of, that will be too. When God showed me this years ago, it changed my whole life. It changed everything about me when I realized that I had the presence of God everywhere I went. And I decided when I'd go into funeral homes, I stopped going in there as a pastor. I stopped going in there as my duty and to minister to people, or going here and there doing something as my duty. I walked in there with a conscious awareness of who I am, that God is in me, and I have that constant awareness of that. And not long after that, I'm at the funeral home, and this girl, this young lady, was looking for me, and she happened to go to my daughter, the reason I know the story, and she said, "Where is that man?" She said, "What man? That man who carries such presence. That man who has such presence." And she said, "You know my daddy?" Now, why? Because it's me? No, because I'm consciously aware now that this is not who I am on the outside. That I carry the weight and the glory of God Almighty. God is in me, and I carry His presence everywhere I go. I don't have to ask for His presence. I don't have to beg for His presence. I don't have to ask Him to come down to me. He is in me. He is present with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God said, "I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll go with you to the very end." And so we have this light in us. And sometimes you may think, "Well, I'll make this decision because I can." Well, then He'll say, "But don't." "Well, I won't make this decision because I can, but I want you to." That's good stuff. It's not. It can always be calculated out. Thank God for the mind, but thank God more for the spirit. You know, I know all this, but yesterday, the last couple of days, I just relaxed, man. Holidays was over. I just, for 2 days, Bob and I just relaxed. And yesterday, I watched Tech Georgia game. Then I watched Mississippi Ole Miss game. Watched Florida State and whomever game, and man, I'm just wired. I'm just, my motors just go, I'm like this. And after the Georgia Tech game, I was just like this. And so I said, "I got to go outside." So I went outside and sat on the deck, come back and started watching ball games again, and just got like this. And I'm just, I said, "Calm down." I said, "I'm just trying to get in the spirit." And so I said, "Well, I'm going to go to bed." So I go to bed, and I turn the TV on, I turn the Alabama Auburn game on. And I'm going, and they're just wearing me out. Wearing me out. And something inside me just said, "Calm down." And you know what I did? Barbara, you're going to love it. God bless you. I turned on a Hallmark movie. I did. I turned on, and it was so peaceful and calm. I set my timer. And I just laid there and I prayed a little bit and listened to these people, sweet talking people. And everything was just lovely. Christmas trees and lights and everybody's sweet. And I just calmed down and I thought, wow, this is so much better. That's why next month we're doing a series called Silent Night. Silent Night. Silent Night. Holy Night. All is calm. All right, let me preach this. Let's stay. You know why all is bright? You know why all is bright? That's it. Yeah. All is bright because all is calm. Things are not going to be bright if things aren't calm. And so the whole series is based on calming things and all. Because we started this series with this. The series was started, the Holy Spirit came. He was in creation to take the chaoticness that was in the world, the chaos, and bring peace. And He comes to bring peace to your life. How many love peace more than chaos? Whoa! Give me peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Yep. They don't know that song. And fathomless, what was Bill? What? Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows, love. Four of us knew that song. All right, who's my fourth reader? This is my favorite part. So you get my favorite part, Ben. You're my first and my last. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good job. Amen. Wow. Be careful how you live. Old King James said, walk circumspectly. Be aware of what's going on around you. Just be careful. You know why Gideon chose those, when he took those 10,000 and he took them down to a river to drink, and he says now that some of them's not going to drink right. I want you to pick the ones who drink right, and those are the ones I want you to take to war. He says, now those who get down and lap it up like a dog, I want you to send them home. And so out of that 10,000, 9,700 of them was not vigilant and was not looking around to see what was going on. The ones that were doing it correctly were cupping it in their hands because they were looking around. They were cautious of their environment. And they would drink their water and they're still looking to see what's going on. He said, take those 300 because they're careful. They're careful. How many are careful drivers? How many spouses careful? Don't ask. How many are careful drivers? Terry, put your hand down. I love you, dude, but just keep your hand down. I ride a motorcycle every blue moon. Used to ride a good bit, but I'm very careful. When I'm driving, riding a motorcycle, I really ride because my wife rides, and I didn't want her riding by herself, and so I ride every so often. But when I'm coming up to a red light, and even though it's green, and I'm not going through that red light, I'm looking to make sure that person coming is going to stop at that red light, and I can go through that green light. And I've saved myself a couple of times just by being vigilant and careful. I expect them to run the red light. I'm not that careful in my car, but it's a little different on the motorcycle. I may take a broadside in the car, make it through, but I'm probably not going to take a broadside on the motorcycle and make it through. be a little more vigilant, a little more careful. You just got to be careful in everything we do in life. And even when you're being as careful as you can be, things can go wrong. Right? There are still accidents that happen, even being as careful as you can be. I know people who are careful in everything they do, but still an accident can happen. But as we, he said, be careful how you live. Don't live as fools. Don't be those, but live like those, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine. Let me explain something, what he's talking about here. I like what Old King James says, which leads to excess. They lived in a day when the temples was full of drinking and wildness. Even in the church of Corinth, when they had communion, they were coming and they were bringing wine and they were drinking and getting drunk at communion. And Paul comes along and says, whoa. This is not the place to be drinking and getting drunk. You got houses to eat and drink in. This is the time to come and you take communion, you take the bread and you take the wine and that's it. This represents the Lord's body. This represents the Lord's blood. And you take it then. Eli's two sons came to offer sacrifices intoxicated, and the Bible says they lost their lives because they came intoxicated. He said, that's not how you do it. He said, and if you do it, it leads to excess. There are things in life that will wear you out. And I want to tell you something. There's more that will wear you out than alcohol. Jesus even talked about you can be drunk on the things of this world and it'll wear you out. You see, I don't have any money. Well, I got some money, but I don't have any no change. If I had a quarter, and how many remember years ago the quarters like were made out of pure silver? How many when you was a little kid, you don't ever see this now, but you look at a quarter and it's all wore down and you can't even read the date on it? I mean, because people kept, you know, this person had it and this person had it. This wore, well, no matter how thin that quarter got, guess how much it's worth? Quarter. Well, in that day, it was silver. And sometimes the silver get passed on enough, it would get wore down and it would lose its weight. And when it loses its weight, it loses some value. He's saying there's some things in life that will wear you down. And you'll lose your value. You'll lose your value. There was a man. I've really got some important things to say, so I'm going to probably go a little bit longer this morning, but you need to listen to me. There was a man. He was a great man of God. His last name was Culpepper. And back in 1986, he was dying. He was a pastor, been a great man of God, pastor of great churches. He told his son, I want you to take me back to my Bethel. That is back to where God called me into the ministry. And his son didn't want to take him because he was so sick and it was a long journey. And one day his father walked in and said, I want you to take me back to my Bethel. And his son said, okay. They got ready. They got in the car. What would have been just a day's journey was a couple of days' journey because he kept having to stop and nurture him and minister to him. And finally, they got to the place where he was going, this little country church. And in this little country church, he went over to the place where he got saved. He took his son over there and he said, this is where I got born again. And he just wept and cried and reminisced. And then he took him to another place. He says, this is where God filled me with the Holy Spirit. He said, and took him to another place and said, and this is where God called me into the ministry. Let me just tell you something, kids. God will speak to you. I was 12 years old. I was kneeling by my bed, praying, for a long time. And my parents finally came in and wanted to know what I was praying so long about. And I was praying, I wanted God to tell me what He wanted me to do. At 12 years of age, God called me into the ministry. And that night, I was able to tell my mom and dad, God's called me to preach. I heard His voice at 12 years of age. You can hear His voice at any age. All you have to do is listen. When you hear that inner voice in you, God will speak to you. He took him over to another place and he says, this is where God called me. I preached my first message. He looked at his son who was in the ministry. He says, I want you to kneel right here. His son knelt and had been in the ministry for years. Culpepper laid his hands on him. He said, God, forgive my son for wearing out in the ministry and not staying focused on what he's really called to do and doing this thing in the arm of the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive my son for not letting you be first in his life and foremost in his life and letting other people tell him how to pastor and what to do. God, forgive my son. By that time, his son just broke. And God refilled his son with the Holy Spirit, with a passion for God. And he got up from there and he left with a passion for God again. I started this thing, I'm going to end this thing, church. It's about the passion of God in your life. It's about inspiration. It's not about loving. You can love. You're not going to love God with all your strength until you love God with all your heart. It's got to start in your heart first and foremost. And then he says, I want to tell you how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we come here on Sunday mornings and we think, you know, you see the band's up here playing and we're singing. Well, every time, you know, we don't sing many psalms. We used to sing some psalms, and we still do every now and then. You don't know it, but there's some words right out of psalms. But we do sing some psalms. But back then, that's the only hymn book they had was psalms. And so they sang psalms. And then they would sing hymns. And hymns were these, you know, one hymn that was just a passage above that says, arise, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. They said that was probably a hymn that when somebody was baptized, the whole church would begin to sing, arise, O sleeper, and God will give you light. And we sing these hymns, and we sing spiritual songs. These songs we sang this morning, they're spiritual songs. They're spiritual songs. Well, when you consciously do that in awareness of what's happening, and you're making melody in your heart to the Lord, He's filling you with the Holy Spirit. He's filling you with the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the psalmist says, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with a loud cymbals. Praise Him with a high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And then when I was in the fifth grade, you know what my teacher taught me in the fifth grade? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. For we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercy endureth unto all generations. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because as I do that, the Holy Spirit of God that's in me will fill me with His Holy Spirit so that when I leave here, I don't leave the way that I came. I leave with a fresh awareness of who I am in God. I leave with a fresh awareness of the Spirit of the living God that's within me. And I leave with a power and an unction that only comes from Him. And so when I go out into this world that's filled with a lot of chaos, I go to bring peace. When I go into wherever I go, when I go into my workplace, I come to bring peace. I come to bring a chaotic world into a world of order and understanding of God. I come to be God.
Amen. Amen.
in the earth. It's not hard to do. I just got to act like my daddy. I just got to act like my daddy. I had a good daddy. And there are things that I wished I'd have acted like him. Oh, I wish. I wished I'd have acted like my daddy in finances. Boy, how I wish I'd have mimicked him. Because he was awesome. He was awesome. But there are some things I mimicked him in. One was, when things get rough in the family, you don't run. You don't run. Remember that big old hand. I remember him just, if there was a family situation and daddy came in it, didn't take long, it was over. Wasn't no conversation about it. He just, daddy came in and said, this is it. I mimicked him in some of those things over the years, and I'm glad I did. I've walked in situations in my family's life and said, oh no. No, 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 no. This ain't going to happen. This ain't going to happen in this family. Not going to happen. Devil? Uh-uh. You ain't got, uh-uh. No. God's in you, church. He really is. And I pray that it's just, we just have to be aware of it. We got to, and not just in here. You got to take it out there with you. Because the same God you feel in here, he's all out there. He really is. He's at your place of employment. He just needs you to be the light. He needs you to be that God there. And you don't have to say anything to be that. And one of the things we've learned is, no, give up your need to be right. And then another one, I like what Terry Shaw said, he's learning to give up his need to have an opinion. And I like that one too. You know why I like it? Because most of the time I hear this, I hear people say, let me give you my 2 cents worth. I don't really want it. 2 cents? No. Now, you got a $1 million opinion? Come on. Let me have it. 2 cents? Ken came to my office the other week, and he had an opinion about some things. It was way more than 2 cents. It's worth listening to. I don't really care for a 2 cents opinion. If we just carry God's presence, sometimes you don't have to say a word, just you be in there. I met a guy in the grocery store yesterday, and he just started work for the funeral home, and he just had this kind of he didn't know if he was going to make it or not. I think he kind of saw it as maybe an inferior thing. I don't know, but I had to this opportunity, and usually, like I said, in the grocery store, I run. Well, he ran to me. He called my name, so he got my attention, so I turned around, but I was still trying to get out. And he told me that story, and I went to him. I said, I'm tell you something. Your presence in that funeral home, and it wasn't Keith. Your presence in that funeral home is everything. You're a man of God. These people are hurting. And just your presence there emanates the faith of God and the love of God and the grace of God. And you just don't have a clue what you're ministering to those people. He said, wow, I never looked at it like that. He said, well, be aware. Be aware of who you are. Be aware. Your kids have the Holy Spirit of God inside them. Be aware, you can learn things from them. Listen to them. You'll be amazed what they can say. You'll be amazed. There's some things in your life that I know but maybe not your life, but maybe someone close to you is chaotic right now. Maybe your children are going through a tough time. Maybe your brother or sister, some things are chaotic in their life. God wants to bring peace to that. A lot of things that Jesus came to do, but gosh, and believe me, I'm not political. I'm not trying to be political. And I'm not saying what we're doing is wrong. War just doesn't seem like it brings peace. Just hadn't seen where war brings peace. That's just me. When are we going to wake up? When's the church world? When are we going to wake up and realize this? It's God's peace He comes to bring. The very first thing the angel said to those disciples, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I'll tell you, you can have $1 million, but you'd give it all for peace. You'd give it all for peace in a chaotic moment. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're here, just stand up. Because you just stand up. I want to close this series with, you're here. This year, maybe, there's been some chaotic things in your life. Maybe the light came on this morning more than it's ever come on before. And this light that's come on in you is telling you how to go and be a peacemaker in the world. How to just go and let the power and the love of God just emanate from you. Without even saying a word. All you got to do is let it happen. All you got to do is be aware of it and release it. If it's someone else, if it's for you, if it's just to be this glorious light in the world, would you just come and stand across the front? And I want to pray a prayer over you that will help you to see peace in your family. And let me tell you, one of the ways to bring peace in your family is just to speak over it. Don't go try to figure it. Don't just speak peace. Sometimes you got to say things, but. And the Bible says in everything give thanks. You got to be a grateful, thankful person. I'm going to pray in a moment. I ask you to pray with me. Mike Thompson, my good buddy, his son Jared, for over a year, has had what they've diagnosed is persistent daily headaches. Now you got to understand, this is a headache that has been for over a year that has never gone away. Never gone away. He's gone through all kinds of deals. He's been here, he's been there, and it's been persistent every single day for over a year. This past September was over a year. This headache's been with him every single day. I know you're here and you've had headaches, and you know how horrible headaches are. I had migraines years ago. I don't have them anymore. I never have a headache, thank God. And he's going for a special treatment this week for a whole week. And I want you to agree with me and pray with me over his name's Jared, and just really pray with me that God touched that young man. Just got married last year. He can enjoy his life. He's a great guy. He really is. Really loves God, loves his family. Man, he's worn out. This is just getting it. And so I want to speak peace over him and this week, Bill. Power of God move on that. And I want you to start saying who you are and release God everywhere you go. Just be aware. You don't have to say anything. If God tells you to say something, say something. But just know who you are. And so, God, we know that you're in us. Holy Spirit of the living God resides within us. You said if we just ask you, he would come. You told your disciples, don't go do what I've called you to do until you be endowed with this power. Be filled with this Spirit. And so I'm asking you, Lord, to just help each and every one of these people be aware of how awesome you are and how powerful your presence is in their life. And Lord, we just want to release that wherever we go. We want to do it with thanksgiving. We want to imitate you, God. We want to release forgiveness. We want to release forgiveness. We want the God to see that we're not going to be make excuses. If we fall, we're going to get up. We're just going to keep making the right decisions until the right decisions just become right in us all the time. We're going to let the light of God shine in our life. Lord, we're going to be aware of our surroundings and be careful. Lord, we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we know we worship a living God. And if we sing these praises to you, Lord, as we sing praises, we are being benefited from it. We are being filled with your Holy Spirit. And God, we just want this awareness of who we are, awareness of God in our life, to be released into a hurting world. And not look at our environment in a negative, critical way, but look at it in a healing way. And that we can be the light in that moment. We can be the peace in that chaos. And it can come from us always. 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 Amen.